It's not a very jolly reading, but there is hope. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord, Lord's house, shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. Peoples shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountains of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God for ever and ever." The New Testament, Mark 13, verses 1 to 8. As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs."
Thank you very much indeed. We join in prayer. Well, Lord our God, we thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time and ask that what is spoken will ring with truth, what is heard and understood will be touched by your Spirit, and what is decided will lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. On the 2nd of December 1940, our first church was burned down during a fire raid. The words of Geoffrey Fisher, member of this church, we heard. One of the first on the scene that fateful night. Several folk here will remember Geoffrey. I met him in the 1980s. We heard the rest of his account of the daring, of the shock, of the loss of this place that F.C. Bryan, the then minister, had called our holy and beautiful house. Someone spoke to me this week about possibly using the Tyndale building for some filming. "Well, it's very beautiful," she said. Baptists aren't supposed to be very attached to their buildings. We avoid using words such as holy, priests, altars, and all the rest. We don't believe that God is in the building. Most Baptist church buildings are plain places, out of the way in very many villages around the country, tucked in the back. For us, well, of course, for all Christians, but particularly for us, the church is the people, not the building. Yet, it is difficult to imagine now Tyndale without its building, even more so difficult to imagine it then. Imagine how it must have been watching this place go up in flames. The Second World War, of course, brought many more worse things than a bombed-out church, and that was only one small conflagration in the destruction of much of Bristol, and that itself was only one small conflagration compared with Coventry, say, or the East End of London, or Dresden, or Berlin, or Hamburg. So many lives lost, so many buildings, so many cities. Imagine the destruction. Some of you can remember it. The anniversary takes place this year, as I was saying, during the 150th anniversary of the church and on the first Sunday in Advent. We are continuing a theme that has recurred through the autumn, heart's desire, a theme that will lead us on into Advent. Beginning today with the heart's desire of the prophet, of Micah, one of the prophets of Israel, contemporary with his more famous prophet, Isaiah. We are beginning with those famous heartfelt words. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple shall be established as the highest of the mountains. Micah said them, or Isaiah, or both. Both very similar words occur in both books. Said them in a time of war, in the midst of destruction, when the mountain of the Lord's temple was under threat. Jerusalem, where God's temple was to be found, though it was not completely destroyed until much later, was in Micah's time besieged, raided, partially destroyed by the Assyrian army. Maybe if incendiary bombs had been around 8 centuries before Christ, one or two would have rained down on the temple. Maybe the destruction wouldn't have been total, it wasn't here. Much greater terrors happened elsewhere. The northern kingdom was completely destroyed, as much greater terrors happened here. Still, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. Then the waiting. They waited for years till Tyndale was rebuilt, while troubles continued all around. Tyndale was destroyed near the start of World War II, when the life of faith was on the line. According to Open to God, Open for All, the history book, the war years saw the normal life of the churches at a very low ebb. Micah waited, and Isaiah. It was part of the prophet's calling to wait, to look at what is happening at the world around, and to wait for a word from God. It is part of the Christian's calling as well. One of the most troubling features to my mind of the support for Donald Trump by some Christians in the US is their cry, "Trump has been sent by God." and their continued support of him, whatever happens or whatever he says. Indeed, their readiness to believe him when he says, as he often says, believe me. Just, I think, what Jesus meant when he said that many will come in my name. Their belief that God is doing God's thing now. Their refusal to wait. We are called to wait. To look at the destruction, the uncertainty, the insecurity all around, and wait. There's plenty of it, of course. I don't need to mention Brexit. Increased homelessness, in-work poverty, violent crime, desperation at the borders of Europe, the US, here. Extremist groups, populist leaders all over, dire predictions of the future, never mind our own lives. Wait. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. After 15 years, all manner of false dawns, having to wait in line for other priorities, Tyndale was rebuilt. Imagine the joy of those who had seen it destroyed, who had met for worship for all those long 15 years in the hall, long since replaced by Tyndale Court. Imagine their joy. Not that they had done nothing in the meantime, far from it. They had got Westbury Baptist Church going for one thing. Still, they waited. Then, 15 years later, the new Tyndale was completed, the building that still we enjoy today. Beautiful, where still we practice our faith and carry out some of our service. And when those disciples walked with Jesus near the temple precinct, centuries after Micah's time, when the Jerusalem temple had been rebuilt and was at the center of Israel's life, and when they spoke admiringly of it, perhaps they were thinking, just as some are in the US, this is now. God is here doing his thing now. Maybe they believed God was in the building. The same challenge that faces us here week by week. When we say, as of course we say, God is present. Yes. But still we must wait. Like the prophet. Why faith can be likened to heart's desire. At which point I should let you into a secret. An idea I picked up many years ago for preparing worship was to, quote, start as if no one has any faith at all and aim by the end to have made it possible for at least someone to believe. You will have your own opinions as to how well that works. Maybe we need a feedback form. Or a referendum. But it goes against the grain, doesn't it? We are all Christians, always have been, already we believe. But in the grace of God, actually, we are none of us where we should be. Being a Christian is not about an identity, is not about belonging to a particular tribe. It is about a way of life to which we are called. It is dependent upon the living power of God in every minute. Heart's desire. Wanting to be close to God, waiting to be close to God, living by faith that God will, as God always has, come close as he has in Jesus Christ. And when those disciples walked with Jesus near the temple precinct and said, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings," Jesus said, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." The reality of that, I guess, must have hit home on that night in 1940. But the spirit of those words are, I think, what should mark us all the time, so that we never settle for how things are now. We never believe that God is here and not somewhere else. We never say where we are in our faith, in our lives, in the church, but we always look to God's future. We always wait for his coming. We always live by faith. Brexit, homelessness, in-work poverty, violent crime, desperation at the borders, extremist groups, populist leaders, dire predictions, false messiahs, wars and rumors of wars, nations rising up against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes in various places, famines. These are the beginnings of the birth pang. "Do not be alarmed," says Jesus. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Meantime, wait. Live by faith. Serve. Love one another and the world around, and fix your desire on the things of God. God is here. In Christ, the destroyed temple is his body. The rebuilt building, Christ lives. He comes. Wait. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And while you wait, fix your desire on the beautiful vision of the prophet. Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the Lord Almighty has spoken.